Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five. We've been raising our children out here for the last, well, about 20 years or so, and homeschooling them here as well. And my folks homeschooled us back in the 1960s and 1970s. And one of the important things about Christian home education is to keep the scriptures center. Be sure that our children are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:7 says, teach your children God's Word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. The very core element of education is the teaching of the Word of God. That's the core. If we wind up successfully teaching Saxon math to our children, yet forget the Word of God, somehow they know their Saxon math better than they know the Word of God, better than they know Deuteronomy, the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If they know their Saxon math better than they know the book of Matthew or the book of Proverbs, you are giving your children a substandard education. And I know, folks, that you've heard this from me before, because this isn't just deja vu. I've said this many times before. And that's because we're Christians. That's because our worldview is such that we believe that God is very smart, that God has given us his revelation, and we really ought to take him seriously. We really need to say, hey, if God has conveyed this to us over a period of several thousand years, some 2,000 years ago, then maybe we should pull this word out and use it. And as it turns out, the Word of God is so powerful in changing lives and cultures. Don't forget the cultural element. Many times we have mentioned how incredibly influential the Protestant Reformation was in radically transforming cultures, such that the most free nations, the most prosperous nations, the most honest nations in business transactions, according to Transparency International and other organizations, the nations that have the best economies in the entire world are almost without exception, Protestant countries, and secondarily, of course, Roman Catholic countries too. But it kind of goes down from there, from that point on. As you get further and further away from the Word of God, guess what? The nations become far less prosperous, far less free, far less likely to be honest in terms of the corruptions perception index and other things. So again, if you want to see a tremendous change in cultures and people's lives, teach the Word of God as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's one reason we talk about family worship and family devotions and how important it is to just do that every single day. In fact, a matter of fact, I have not been in the Word of God yet today with my children, and you know, that's pretty uncommon, where I'll make it all the way till 2 p.m. It happens to be about 2 p.m., and we have not yet done family worship, and yet, you know, we're not going to go to bed tonight until we have been in the Word of God. And we've sung a few songs together, we've prayed, but we have not really sat down and studied God's Word today. And you see, as a father, that's working in the back of my mind, even as I'm checking off all these things I have to do today. It's been a very busy day. I had to get up and meet with somebody in my church for about 2 hours this morning, and then we had visitors here this afternoon, and we just had lunch together, but we still haven't quite had family worship together. We want to get into God's Word. That's got to happen sometime later on today, and it's going to happen by God's grace. All right, so just, friends, remember the Word of God. Get it into your children. Get your children into the Word of God. And that's the topic today as we bring in the subject of the Bible Bee. That's right. There is a Bible Bee, and it's been operational now for 5 years in the United States. It is one of the most important competitions going on in America today. It's called the Bible Bee. And this year, $260,000 in prizes. So this is a very big deal. And thus far, I just checked out the website, 4,309 contestants enrolled, 1,726 families thus far this year. And we are going to promote this. We're going to encourage folks to get involved in this today. And Mark McMahon joins me now on the Generations broadcast. He is one of the directors of this program, Mark McMahon. Hey, welcome to the program, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible Bee, you know, this is actually relatively new, isn't it? I mean, I remember seeing this for the first time, I think it was just 4 to 5 years ago, and yet it's really taking off.
Absolutely. We're celebrating our fifth year birthday this year as a part of that, and so we're excited. We're still on the upward swing, still on a ramp, but we've made so many dramatic changes that some of our friends may have seen some of our ads talking about. If you have an old photo of us, to use the analogy, if you have a old picture or an old memory of us, now that we're 5 years old, you might not recognize us. We've made some dramatic changes for the better. better in order to be able to encourage more and more families to be a part.
Do you see growth? Are you seeing growth?
Absolutely.
How many states involved at this point?
When we talk about the registrations, you see those on our website now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting because almost 40, well, more than 40 and almost 50% of our registrations come in the last week that it's open, which is next week.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what our numbers turn out to be this year. But you know what, Kevin, I know that you highlighted the competition aspect, and it's a lot of fun. I will admit that the kids are doing phenomenally as far as their how well they do. They're motivated perhaps by that, but really our passion from the foundation perspective is really a much broader one, as you speak from Generations Radio, and so I'm sure we'll get into that. But
right. I know the vision is to get the Word of God into our children and
Absolutely.
Get our children into the Word of God.
Yep.
And the competition is one way to sort of encourage that.
Yeah.
What are families saying as they get involved? How are they saying this is benefiting their families?
Oh, it's been just... It overwhelms us from the foundation that we are allowed to participate, that God has chosen us to participate in this work that He is doing through these families. Everything from the parents saying, you know, I never thought I could study the Word of God this way. I never knew I could extract this type of meat from my Bible. I knew how to read it. I may have done devotions, but really didn't know how to study it. And it's been amazing how it's impacted my children's lives and their worldview and their perspective. It's been amazing how it's impacted my life. And parents are emailing us and sending us letters saying, you know, this has just truly transformed our whole family. And we even have families that they thought they had a walk with Christ, and really as a part of their summer and their study and their growing in their knowledge and their relationship with the Lord, really realized that, you know, this, they didn't have anything before,
you know.
And so that's been really passionate for us.
Yeah, you know, Mark, Hebrews 3:13 talks about how important it is to exhort each other in the Word on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be soaking in the Word on a daily basis. You get away from it for a week or two or three at a time, and you're not really growing in the atmosphere of God's Word and God's truth. And there's just something different that happens when you just jump in head first and you just start swimming around in the Word of God. And I think that's what happens with these families as they prepare for the Bible B. I mean, they really get immersed into it, right?
Absolutely. And yet we do it on a much doable basis for every family. It's only 20 minutes per day on a 5-day-a-week basis that any family can do that. And we start in the summer because most families have a more relaxed schedule perhaps during the summer and a little bit less demands than they may already have been committed to. And so it's a great time for us to jumpstart, or for them to jumpstart their family and to start habits that maybe did not exist before, or to add elements to their family worship, their family discipleship time. So it's really an exciting thing that they're able to do this on a daily basis. But you're right, they do become immersed, and so at the end of the summer, they really know that one book of the Bible that we've studied together as a part of the family discipleship curriculum.
All right, so you pick a book of the Bible for the contest each year.
That's correct.
Okay, I didn't realize that. And which book are you picking this year? What do you think it's going
to
be?
Well, I'd love to tell you, but there's a whole lot of your listeners that would also love to hear me say it.
It's a big secret, right?
No, because there is a core base foundation that has a contest portion of it, element to it.
Right.
We have to keep it all under wraps until everybody has the same starting gun, so to
speak. Okay, and that's going to happen in the next week or two.
And that's June 1st.
June 1st.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming right up.
Everything will come out in the open at that point. Everybody receives their materials by that point in time, and so everybody has the same starting gun. Now, we have a lot of families that choose not to participate in the competition aspect, which is completely fine with us.
Right.
You know, if they either, based on the personality of the kids, they're nervous, they don't want to, it's too much tension or stress or that type of thing, or the families don't think think that this ought to be an element of studying God's Word, that's perfectly fine. Our passion from the Shelby Kennedy Foundation, which is the foundation that operates the National Bible Bee, our passion is that families would do true family discipleship in their home. And I know that's something that you've been a strong supporter of for years, but so many families, they hear the term family discipleship, churches banter that topic around family worship. We believe that there's at least three major components to any true family discipleship program, which is the in-depth study of God's Word, a small Bible memory program, and then prayer cannot be in absence of those two items. That's, now, that can be enhanced by singing. I know your family does singing.
Yeah, we do
too sometimes. So you can bring those elements in also, but we incorporate all three of those core elements in as a part of the summer family program.
And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing the Word of God in the book of Colossians, and we're memorizing Psalm 19 together. And by the way, we do memorize as a family together. And I recommend that. I just think it's more fun than, you know, having people memorize different things at different times. It's just great when mom and dad and all the children, you know, everybody has to recite it. You know, I have to recite it too, you know. So as we do Psalm 119, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day out of speech, night to night showeth knowledge. There is no voice in language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out, and so forth. You know, we're learning that right now. I'm probably about 60% through it myself, and most of my children are pretty much neck and neck with me. We just learn it together. We memorize together, and we study the Word together, and it's kind of fun.
And that's one thing that we've changed over the years was we used to have different levels of involvement based on their age level that they were participating in. But you know what? You're absolutely right. Where we're at right now and for the past couple of years, we've had the same suite of verse passages that the whole family has memorized, whether they're a 16-year-old in the home or whether they're a 7-year-old in the home or even younger than that. We've expanded the materials to encompass actually ages 4 all the way through adult. So if you've got multiple generations, even in your home, you've got grandparents, they can participate as a part of the material during the summertime. You know, again, the competition is a optional element and something that kids may be a part of, but really doing it as a family and having your discipleship time. And then what we encourage is at the end of the week having what we call a bonfire. And that bonfire time is just an opportunity for the whole family to get together, because you may have young ones that are doing their material with the help of mom during the week or the help of dad during the week, but you may have older siblings that are doing their own personal time in the Word, their own personal devotion time. And so the end of the week time is a great time to bring the whole family together and to do the family worship, family bonfire, the family discipleship time, whatever term we use, but it's a great time to get around the Word and ask those questions and make sure that learning is taking place in your children at home.
So, Mark, starting June 1st, you're going to pick a book of the Bible. And granted, it will be one of 66, is my guess.
Yes.
There are 66. You will pick one. It might be Old Testament. It might be New Testament. It could be either Testament.
Correct.
Okay. And ready, set, go. They're going to learn that book inside and out as best as they can.
They are. We provide actually what we call a sword study. And that study is a guided format to do inductive study of that one book of the Bible. So we spend 2 weeks in study of each chapter throughout the summer. And so they'll spend 2 weeks digging through that in an inductive study method. So the first week we start with a introductory story or a vignette that will illuminate it, some of the principles that may be exposed as we're going through that chapter. And then each day they go through the routine of a portion of time to begin with that says on your knees. You can't start studying the Word of God without first breaking down yourself and rid yourself of distractions and really get focused on it with a prayer time, a time to write the actual passage that we're studying that day and that week. And so they'll write that passage over and over and over each day. So that helps them to solidify it in their mind and then also to read that portion, that chapter that we're studying for those 2 weeks.
Do you allow some flexibility in terms of Bible version?
Absolutely. We support four translations this year. We support the King James, the New King James, the NASB, and the ESV versions.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good.
Now, the sword studies themselves are version neutral. So they rely on the verses and the passages, but they don't specifically deal with it doesn't focus on the specific words of a specific translation.
Now you require Bible memorization as well. Is that drawn from that specific book, or could it be from any other area?
Well, it all relates to this book. So some of them may be from the book, but many of them actually are cross-references to that book.
Okay.
So they all relate to it, but they are not all from it.
Very good. Now, I notice also you have some Hebrew and Greek involved. That's pretty intense.
Absolutely. We, as a portion of the week-long or the two-week study in that chapter, we'll start with a level where we're talking about the aerial view of that chapter. Some of the, you know, what's going on in the context, what's the culture like, where are they located geographically, who's involved in that chapter. Then we go to the street view, and the street view is basically interviewing chapter. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. Those types of questions are asked regarding the chapter that we're studying. Then we go to what we called under the rug, and that's where we identify key words that are repeated and used throughout that passage that we've identified as key words, and then we'll do Greek and Hebrew word studies on those words, see where else they're used in Scripture, because we use Scripture to interpret Scripture. We're not focused on other commentaries or other teachings. We use God's Word to interpret itself. So we see where else it's used in context, and so as a result, that helps us understand better the key words and how they're used in that chapter. And only then, at the end of each chapter, will we have an apply section, because we don't want to apply just a small passage or a couple of verses. Sometimes that may have there may be a way that it lends itself to that, but other times you end up trying to take things out of context, perhaps. And so we take things on a little larger bulk before we try to do an apply to their daily life and to their actions and activities during the course of a day.
Mark, let's get back to the Bible Bee competition itself. Is it broken down in terms of age groupings?
It is. There are three main age categories. If one wants to participate, they need to be either age 7 through 10, which is our primary level, 11 through 14 is our junior level, and 15 through 18 is our senior level.
You have witnessed this Bible Bee, and you've seen it move from the local competitions to the national competition every year, and we're going to talk about local versus national. But talk to us about the winners. What do the winners look like? What have they done? How much have they learned? Has it been a shock to you at points to realize how much these 8-year-olds can learn from the Word of God? What's your impression of the winners?
It's been amazing. You say, what do they look like? Well, they're all blonde hair. No, I'm just kidding. It has been amazing. Starting back in 2009, when we had some phenomenal demonstration of their ability to memorize God's Word. Mm-hmm. And I know, based on the relationships then that were formed with them directly and the families that they're coming from, the true source and the joy and the resource that will become, if it is not already, that will become in their life as they continue to go through life. But it's amazing that the younger kids can memorize as much as they do. Mm-hmm. Now, during the summertime, it's easy. Everybody can do it. There's only two passages each week to memorize.
Okay.
It's those that go to nationals that we provide them, if you will, a more Olympic-level size amount that they will memorize. And they'll actually study a second book of the Bible also. So when they get to nationals, that's when it's really amazing the number of verses that they've been able to commit to memory, and then the personalities of these winners also. Sometimes you see it a lot in professional sports or even in amateur sports out in the general culture of there's a pride or there's an arrogance perhaps in there. I do not see any of that in our families.
Good.
And,
okay.
You know, you've got friendships that are being developed, and that's their focus,
yes.
whether or not
yes.
they win, whether or not they go to the next level or the next mm-hmm. round. You know, they start encouraging and cheering on their friends when they might have been eliminated, and really not a lot of tears even when they're eliminated, but just, you know, they did their best, mm-hmm. and that's all we ask of them.
Sure.
It's not we herald one person as having done far better than everyone else, as much as it is everyone has had the opportunity and has done phenomenally well at hiding God's word in their heart and using that ability to apply that and learning how to study God's word that then they can use the rest of their life.
Off the top of your head, can you remember anybody who's won recently, the last year or two, or where they're from? Are they from different places around the country?
Yes, they're all over the country.
Okay.
We have, there are certain names that show up at nationals on a regular basis. There mm-hmm. are always new names that come in, and they're from all over the country. There's no
Good.
One pocket that seems to breed all of the Bible Bee winners.
And Mark, how many states involved at this point? Because you got to have local contests in these local states, and these local contests will vet the winners and send them up to the nationals. How many states involved at this point?
I know we have upwards of 40 states involved. I believe we're close to 45 because some of the local hosts that sign up, as you referenced, some of them have three families involved. Some of them have 100 or 100 plus families involved. So it doesn't matter the size of them. Basically, the function of our hosts are to pull the families together at least one time a month over the course of the summer and just have a time of encouragement and celebration and fellowship together. It's not a trial run competition. They may have some challenges around some of the verses or that type of thing, but a lot of it is much more the parents getting to know other like-minded families, the kids establishing new friendships with people that they didn't know before, all because we're all centered around the word, and that's the encouraging piece.
Mm-hmm. And how do they sign up for the local competitions? If a local group would like to sign up, it doesn't have to be a large group, but it should be somebody willing to do the work, I guess, right?
Well, the sign up of hosts is actually independent of the families that are maybe involved. So it typically a host will come to us and say, I have this passion for families in my area or my church or my homeschool group or my Christian school, and therefore I want to lead this. I will carry the torch, so to speak, to be the local host. But at that point, they may or may not know how many families may be planning to register through them. So it's somebody really with just a driving passion to impact Christian families and help them help strengthen those families in their own homes, and not necessarily, you know, we're all about the competition piece, but so that portion is done first throughout the year. We do that in February and March, and we still will sign up one now if there's somebody that has a group that doesn't have a local host in their area. But then April and May, those months are our family registrations, and so families will go to our website at BibleBee.org. And there they can do, they can find out more information, certainly, but they can also do the full registration process in order to plan and be a part of it and to receive all of their family materials by June 1st.
Okay, now the deadline for signing up is, give us the date and also the website.
The date to sign up, actually, you know, if they're not going to be a part of the competition, they can keep signing up all summer long.
Okay.
You know, we still have families that find out about us in June and July and say, you know what, we just want to get the materials. We just need to do something in our home. We want to do more than what we're doing, or we want to try this out as a variable. And so they're more than able to purchase our materials ongoing from our e-store. But if they want to be a part of the competition, they will need to sign up by actually this next week, by the 31st,
okay,
in order to receive their materials as close to June 1st as possible. Now, those that sign up on Friday the 31st probably won't get them until the midweek next week, the following week, but that's okay, because even if they don't have their materials in the box, we post the first several weeks of each of the levels of material on our website, so that they can use those in the absence of their materials arriving.
And the website one time, Mark,
is BibleBee.org, BibleBee.org.
Okay, very good. What's the history of Bible Bees? Just out of curiosity, have people done these over hundreds of years, or is this sort of a new phenomena?
This is a new item. It came by way of a young lady by the name of Shelby Kennedy.
Oh.
She was the eldest daughter of a missionary family to Haiti and to Mexico,
mm-hmm,
who really had a passion to invest in the children's lives in those areas that she was a part of and on the mission field with, by getting them to memorize the word and memorize scripture, as well as to understand it. So as a result, the foundation is a balanced, we want to make sure that it's a balanced competition or balanced program between both biblical knowledge as well as biblical recitation and memory, so that it doesn't become overweighted in one way or the other. But Shelby died at a young, early age, and as a result, she made one comment at one point that said, you know what, the world has their academic pursuits, as you were saying in your introduction. They have Bible, they have spelling bees, they have geography bees, they have elements that show their importance or what they value as far as education is concerned. And why don't we as a Christian community have something that we can show the rest of the world what's important to us, something like the Bible Bee? And that was the germination of the idea. The foundation was developed in her honor and established in her honor. And as a result, we have the National Bible Bee.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the time to get involved is right now for that, at least for this year. And the website is BibleBee.org. That's BibleBee.org to check it out right now. I'd encourage you to go to the website, BibleBee.org. And Mark McMahon, thank you so much for joining us on Generations. Appreciate the passion you have for getting the Word of God into these families.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin, for giving me the opportunity to talk with your listeners.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. And let me encourage you to check out thebiblebee.org. And also, at the same time, remember kevinswanson.com to hear this program and to support the program. Right now, we're going through our month-long encouragement to get behind the Generations Radio broadcast. If you are one of the 100 sponsors that would like to get behind us and support the program to keep us on the air to continue to be an outreach to tens of thousands of families, Christian families, and families that just want to know what the Word of God has to say about this or that, please support our program by going to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Donate Today. And we would like to pull together about 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for the next year, and we will let you know how we're doing as we go. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.